afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome to the show. You're now listening to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now, I couldn't be out of practice today. I was out there yesterday because we had the Rockies, but apparently they want me to do this thing every day. Kevin Lytle, though, be my eyes, Kevin, be the wind beneath my wings. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, my friend, good seeing you yesterday, and great to have you on the show as always.
Yeah, it was wasn't it kind of fun to have like a group of, you know, back out at a football practice, you know, doing kind of a normal media thing. Let's fingers crossed we can keep doing that. But it's nice to have kind of a normal football day,
man. And I got to tell you, and I don't know, like the regular listener knowing how this goes, but I love going to practice, and then we get to do the interviews right on the field. I'm not crazy about going back to the podium, the media room, and sitting there and waiting forever. I mean, I love it. I remember McElwain did that. Bobo did not. But it sounds like, so for me personally, it's a little selfish, but I love that side of it.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's nice and a little, honestly, I think it's a little more comfortable for the players. It's, you know, they're in their familiar territory, whereas going into the media room, it could feel a little awkward and stilted, especially when, one guy's in there talking, a bunch of other reporters are sitting there waiting for other people. It feels like you have a bunch of eyeballs on you. So, yeah, it's nice. I like the setup right now.
That all being said, and I got to tell you, whenever I listen to Steve Addazio talk, CSU head football coach, I get pumped up. But he's buttoning it down, right? I mean, it's a pretty tight format. I think we get to go see the last 30 minutes or so, which is really not a lot. That's kind of the football coach thing, though, isn't it? I mean, basketball coaches is like, dude, let's be best friends. I'll buy you a beer. Watch my practice. Here's my playbook. Football, it's like, don't even look at us, man. When we're not ready for you.
Yeah, it really is the culture of college football. It's pretty wild, and it's not just a Steve Addazio thing, it's an everyone thing. You know, it's varying levels of button down almost everywhere. But yeah, I mean, I always find it very weird because, coaches, they talk, kind of a big game about what they're doing. But let's be real, the game is fairly simple and no one is doing something that hasn't been done before. It comes down to execution, the players you have, but it is the culture of football. I guess maybe it comes with all the money that's involved and the pressure that's involved. It is a very paranoid sport. There's a lot of paranoia about, teams finding out secrets about you, even though, again, there aren't really that many secrets. But yeah, it is the culture of football that I've just found so weird. And again, this is not a CSU thing. It's a college football thing, or football overall. But even pros, you have more access to pro practices than college practices. So it's weird to me, but hey, we'll take what we can get.
I know down south in Boulder, I mean, they never let you see practice. So, I mean, we should be happy with the 30 minutes that we get. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, yesterday, the initial takeaway from Coach Addazio for me was special teams. I mean, that was, we talked about that like crazy. I mean, he went into length. That's the beautiful thing about Steve Addazio is once you get him going, he's not going to stop, man. I mean, he's going to really bust into it and give us some deep insight. I mean, the first player we all interviewed yesterday was Ryan Stonehouse, the punter. So, I mean, and obviously he's a stud. He could be one of the best punters in the country. But that just kind of shows you the emphasis that Coach Addazio is really going to put on special teams this season. Not to say he didn't last year, but according to him, guys just didn't buy into it.
Yeah, you're right. It was pretty funny, really. He was very fired up about that, talking about how the special teams last year made him vomit. Mm. I think he used the word vomit like three times in our interview there. It's kind of funny. And yeah, it was some interesting takeaways. I mean, he kind of blamed team culture a little bit on it, which was kind of an interesting thing. And yeah, basically, just like you said, not everyone was bought into special teams and their importance and how much commitment there had to be. And, Ryan Stonehouse, like you say, he's a guy that probably should win the Ray Guy Award as the best punter in the nation. That certainly will be in the mix. He said, in the past years, I think he was absolutely referring to the Bobo years as well, because they had big special teams issues as well. He said, it hasn't been a focus as much as, he feels it should be. Obviously, he's a little biased, but, the results are right. He has a point. And, yeah, it sure seems like a big point of emphasis this fall camp, if we want to call it that. And, I was pretty intrigued to see Adazio pretty forcefully say, you know, not only are we going to be better, we're going to be amazing.
Sure.
Electric was the word he used. He basically promised that special teams will be, you know, top notch this year, which, you know, I would probably play a little more neutral line if I were him, but hey, why not? You believe in it, because that is the thing. You know, fans, I think rightfully, you're glad to hear the emphasis of it, but after seeing what they saw last year, you can only prove it on the field. So we'll see come games, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, get a little bit of a taste on how they're doing. But they certainly have to be better because they, you know, it probably cost them 2 wins out of their 4 games last year.
Yeah, and you're right. The proof will be in the pudding, but at least from what coach tells us, his focus is going to be the little things. Maybe not the little things, but attention to detail. Not really concerned, as he pointed out, not concerned about the big, you know, 30-yard bombs, touchdown passes like crazy. He's worried about special teams. He's worried about the defensive line, the offensive line, the trenches. And so it's a completely different style. And I know we've kind of talked about maybe it's not that much different because Bobo was kind of balanced. But to me, Kevin, this is a completely different frame of mind when it comes to football. And, boy, if you're a Rams fan, you just hope it all takes hold.
Yeah, it's definitely a different vibe, certainly from the Bobo era, just different styles and everything. And it's interesting just to get to watch a little bit more because, again, last year, you know, couldn't see any of it up close and personal. You know, practices were all, you know, closed off because of COVID issues and concerns and everything. And, you know, even the games, they only had 4 of them. So I kind of wrote, it's in a way a re-debut for Adazio. Like, yes, last year counts. I hate when people try and say it doesn't count. He still got paid $1.5 million to play that season, so it counts. But it is, you know, this is back more to a traditional season. So get to see a little bit more, you know, true and more in-depth reflection on what the program is going to look like.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, yesterday, coach said I wasn't thrilled with the practice. And I guess that's got to be expected. I don't know many coaches on day one say, oh, man, today was perfect. So I expected it, but he wasn't thrilled. Was that a change yesterday? Was he happier with what he saw?
Well, we didn't get to talk to him today, just okay. Players today, but yeah, it, you know, from the little bit we saw, it looked fairly similar. Again, that was kind of at the end. And yeah, I think you tweeted this, Brady. It's kind of to be expected. It's going to be sloppy because you have, as Coach said, you're transitioning from kind of just weights workouts to actual football. And then I think you throw in just the sort of adrenaline and excitement and everything. That's obviously good to have, but tends to lead to, you know, some sloppy play. So yeah, that's one of those. You know, if I'm a CSU fan, I'm not very concerned that day one or day two or day three are sloppy. It's kind of part of the system. But yeah, I think, you know, that's what week one is for. That's why they start in just shells before they get in pads. You kind of get yourself back into, you know, football shape. There's a difference between adding strength and all that and being football ready. So that's kind of where they're at right now. So yeah, and that's, I think, normal early camp thing.
The three guys we got to talk to yesterday, Ryan Stonehouse, punter, Trey McBride, tight end, Scott Patchen on the defensive line. Are those the three guys? I mean, because, again, there's some talent on this team. Dante Wright, we haven't talked about. Most of the defensive line is really good. But are those the three guys, Kevin, that you look at and say, those are the ones? These are the stars that are probably going to shine the brightest throughout the season?
Yeah, I think that's probably it right there. You know, Stonehouse is an interesting one to put in there, but he really is. I mean, normally you don't think of a punter, but he is that good, and he's very outspoken and all that. So, yeah, and he is certainly one of those guys. And, you know, if you're trying to play a, you know, kind of a run-heavy, lean-on-your-defense type of game plan, you need your punter to be good. And then, yeah, McBride, I think he is the heartbeat of the team. You know, he's been here so long. He's the best player on the team. I mean, I think bar none. I don't think it's even close, honestly. And then, yeah, Patchen, you know, even though he's still a pretty new guy, you know, has only played 4 games at CSU, he was really good. And yeah, he's kind of one of the linchpins. If that defense and defensive line is going to be as good as we kind of think it can be, that means Patchen's going to have a, you know, an all Mountain West type of season. So yeah, I think if you're kind of starting, you know, from each unit, that is the guy from the offense, defense, and special teams.
Yeah, it is interesting. You know, we always joke and say if the punter's usually getting the press or is one of the best players, it's not a good thing. But in this instance, it's not really a laughable thing. They need to put an emphasis on special teams. Stonehouse is so good. So it kind of does make sense that Stonehouse is going to be one of your features.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's kind of funny, a funny thing. But yeah, it does make some sense. And especially after hearing the messaging from Coach Addazio, it made sense that they would probably want Ryan Stonehouse to follow it up right after that. So, yeah, and he's an interesting guy. People that don't know Ryan Stonehouse, check him out. He's very outspoken on social media, on Twitter. He very much believes in himself and his standing. He has very strong thoughts on, you know, the NCAA and everything. He's a really well-spoken kid who obviously puts a lot of thought into, you know, the game as a whole, you know, football and college athletics as a whole, not just his one role in the team. So he's a fascinating guy. I'm actually planning to write more about Ryan Stonehouse this camp, which isn't something I always do. I don't remember last punter story I did.
No, I mean it makes sense, right? I mean everything about the guy, the hair, of course. I mean that's an entire article right there.
He was wearing the cutoff hoodie yesterday. Like it was all happening. It's great.
Do you get close to these players, Kevin? I mean, but. Did you kind of forget just how massive? I mean, Trey McBride's massive with his stuff on, with his equipment on. But when you're standing up next to him and he's got his shoulders pads off and his biceps are sticking out, poking everybody in the eye. I mean, that's just a monster of a man.
Yeah, it's always humbling to be around the football players. They remind common folks like you and I that we are small and weak.
Yes.
And, yeah, it's a good – that's what I talked to Dante Wright today. I like that more because he's about my height. So that makes me feel a little better. You know, as long as we do nothing athletic and just stand there, you know, it looks okay. But, yeah, guys like Patch and McBride, I am a small man.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we had Ellison in here in the studio, and I feel like I'm tiny compared to him, and it's terrifying. But that's why I always tell him, I'm not gonna call you out for anything, man, not when you're in studio. We'll wait till that's on the phone. We'll do that side of it. But, yeah, I had to crack up yesterday. Mr. Neves out there said, there's one thing you can count on the reporters to find is shade and free food. And, of course, we did. We flocked to the shade as soon as we left the field.
Yeah, luckily it was a little cooler during practice today because, yeah, it was pretty hot yesterday. And actually that's, you know, the team is certainly going through that. You see a lot of cramping right now. I think guys that have spent, you know, their little bit of off time, you know, on the East Coast and out of elevation, I think are getting a stern reminder of the need to overhydrate at elevation.
Yeah, no question about it. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And what else stuck out to you, Kevin? I mean, the special teams thing is what I keep harping on because it is something that absolutely has to be fixed if this team wants to have any kind of success because we saw how bad it was last year. Anything else stick out to you?
I mean, the quarterback question is, you know, it's kind of cliche to keep going to quarterbacks, but it's still important and will, you know, it's hard to win in modern college football or any football. Without good quarterback play. So that's going to be a big thing. You know, Todd Senteo, you know, it's well documented some of his struggles last year, but he still seems to be the guy. You know, Steve Addazio sure talked him up yesterday. Matt Valici, the Boston College transfer, you know, I'm told is definitely a solid player who will definitely challenge Todd as well. But, you know, that's going to be one to follow. You know, it definitely seems like Todd's team right now, but that's one to track. And again, you know, it's kind of cliche to go back to, but it's also very true. It's very hard to win in football without good quarterback play. So that's going to be one to follow.
It really is. You know, I know a lot of Rams fans are pretty skeptical going in and just trying to, you know, we've talked a lot about special teams. We've talked about the trenches, the O-line, specifically the D-line. We haven't talked a whole heck of a lot about the quarterback. And again, we had a small sample size last year, and he was in kind of a quarterback competition with Patrick O'Brien. So I guess you can look at that two ways. We don't know much about him, or the fact that we're not really discussing him a whole heck of a lot. Should that be concerning?
Yeah, and I think it's hard to say right now, too early to say. Like I said, everyone we've talked to speaks highly of Todd. It seems like he's a popular guy in the locker room, a well-liked guy. But yeah, it's, again, kind of like we talked about the special teams. There's an aspect of we're going to have to see it, you know, in live action to know for sure because, you know, practice is practice, and obviously you need to be successful there, but, you know, more importantly, need to be successful in games. So If Todd is the starter come September 3rd or whatever day that is, you know, it'll come down to how he performs out there. But yeah, the team certainly seems to like him and what he can bring to the table. And in his, I guess, defense, we'll call it, coming in as the transfer last year with COVID and everything, that is a very hard way to transition to a new team. You can't do, you know, a lot of the things you normally would do. So for him and any other transfer, that's pretty hard. So a full off season definitely is not going to hurt his chances of succeeding.
Yeah, no question. Getting we heard Trey McBride talk about that yesterday, just working with him individually and how those are going to be steps that are certainly going to help him out. I mean, anytime you can work with a stud tight end like that, you think it's only going. We always say that in football, right? Tight end, a good running back, those are always quarterback's best friends. And boy, it's something where you can have the best in the country, specifically according to Steve Addazio.
Yeah, and obviously, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that if CSU is going to have a good season, that's going to need and mean that Trey McBride has had a very productive season receiving. So you have to have that if you want to succeed. If Trey McBride doesn't have a good year, I struggle to find a way that CSU would have a good year.
Kevin, last one. Is Trey McBride, like right now, before we even get in the season, is he a first-rounder?
Gosh, I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't looked through the depth of the position and other positions. I think that'll be hard just because, you know, tight ends, you'll get some in the first round, certainly, but there's going to be competition. But it wouldn't shock me either. I think he'll get in that conversation because, kind of like Coach Addazio was saying, he does, obviously everyone sees the receiving, and that's important, but all the blocking and things he does there that, you know, maybe your average fan isn't paying attention to during a game, NFL teams are going to drool about that. So he's going to be picked high. I'm not sure if it's first round, but he's going to be up there pretty fast, I think.
Yeah, if he can have a monster year and the Rams can get some success, maybe to the point of winning enough to get to a bowl game, then you got to think that stock just keeps on rising. Kevin, my friend, it was great seeing you. I look forward to the season. I don't know how much I'm going to get out there until regular season practice starts, because maybe you can pull some strings. They scheduled the end of practice right during the show. So, I mean, can you work some magic for me?
I don't understand how they didn't work around the whole show.
I don't understand it.
I mean, that's rough. I'm talking to some people for you, Brady.
Yeah.
We're going to see what we can have happen, but yeah, that's just tough right there.
Yeah, can you just make that your first question next time you talk to Addazio and just say, hey, what's going on? And then see what he says. I'm sure he'll be fine with it. I'm sure I can tell he'll be great.
Yeah, excuse me. What's your problem with the whole show?
Yeah, what's going on with that, Steve?
Is it Brady specifically, or just the show overall? I'll get to the bottom.
Yeah, you figure it out and see if we can adjust the schedule a little bit, and we'll make it work. And preferably like 8. You know, see if they'd get in there a little earlier, and we'll get some work done. Kevin, appreciate it, man. Love following your stuff, and we'll be in touch.
Sounds great, Brady. Always fun talking to you.
All right, man. That's Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. What is that? What is that? I got to go yesterday because the Rockies were playing, so that worked out. Yeah, I mean, practice. We get to see the last 30 minutes. It's typically 11:30, so we get to go see from like 11 to 11:30, and then we have to leave while Coach does his speech to the players and stuff, and then we come back. And so by the time we're done, they were done earlier today. I think we were done about 12:30. Yesterday. So, I mean, come on. I got a show to do. The show must go on, Colfax. You know, and then next week, but we have, maybe I'm backwards on this, but I think Tuesday is CSU's media day. So I'm going out for that. And then Wednesday is UNC's media day. Tuesday, I'll have to figure out a fill in. Wednesday, Rockies play. So I'll be able to get out. But I love media day. I just absolutely love it. And for my records, this is one of the first UNC media days I really remember getting everybody together. Just, again, there's quite a bit of excitement surrounding both of these programs right now, specifically UNC, though. 24 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to talk more about CSU. What did Addazio say? Why is he the most entertaining coach in the state? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Code Now keeps you up to speed on what's happening on a local level. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state, and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Hull Show with Brady Hull.
Celebrating their 10th anniversary, On the Rocks Liquor has been with us since we started this show. Their game beer of the week is from Odell's Brewing in Fort Collins, Tree Shaker Mango IPA. It's Friday. Stop by, get your game beer of the week for a discount, pick up selections from Odell's or any of your favorite adult beverages, and use the drive-thru as well. You can go in, use the drive-thru, whatever. Love the drive-thru. They pop it. They get moving quickly. They're also cool off by picking up some alcohol-infused ice cream by La Creme when you stop by. It's delicious and refreshing. Yes, had a chance to stop by CSU practice yesterday, and we talked to Coach Steve Adazio. We've had him on the show a lot. He's fun to listen to. He is he's a talker. Like, once you get him going, man, he's got stuff for you. Here's Coach Adazio talking about the special teams disconnect from last year and just kind of overall addressing that unit.
Set by me, and I'm involved in them every day. For the most part, I run them, okay? So, and I've done it my whole career. So nothing. There's not some new phenomena that happened here. It's called the process of developing your football team the right way. Learn how to stop the run. Learn how to run the ball. Learn how to be great in the coverage unit on special teams. These are things that have to be. I know everybody in the country cares about, like, how many times you can throw it down the field, how many touchdowns did we catch. But I'm more interested right now in the ability to be physically a fundamentally sound, tough football program that understands offense, defense, special teams, and that special teams controls field position, which is one of the most important parts of a football game. So this is all the education and the building of our program. I bet we'll be electric in special teams this year, okay? I would say you could probably count on that, okay? So I'm excited as hell about it. And, you know, in a sick way, what a great way to get motivated. Doesn't take much to think much about. Just think about it and you want to vomit, okay? I mean, I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. Did that really happen? I don't think I've seen that in the 40 years of my coaching career. But it did. So here's the good news. It's got everybody's full attention. And that's the beauty of it. It wasn't like hidden in camouflage and all of a sudden, you know, that kind of stuff raises its head unexpectedly game three this year. Everything that could happen, happened.
Love it, man. It's going to be electrifying, man. We'll see. I do like the fact that he said, hey, here's the beautiful part of it. It's got everybody's attention, which damn sure means it's got his attention and his players' attention. You can see why players stuck around and did not transfer out. Like some players, a lot of these bigger names, maybe they thought about it, but they believe in this guy. You heard the nervous media laugh there. Whenever a coach makes even a semi-decent joke, media, me included. These guys are intimidating up close, man. Football coaches. But I'm pumped. Should be good. Trey McBride, gigantic human being. We talked to him. We talked to Scott Patchen. We talked to Mr. Stonehouse as well. That was cool. A good conversation. Ryan Stonehouse. He's awesome. But here's Trey McBride talking about, you know, his decision to stick it out and stay at CSU.
Definitely a lot of things that I could work on. I'm sure if I would have left last year, I would have been just fine. But that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to come back. I want to play for CSU, and I want to be a Colorado State Ram. And, you know, there's a lot of things I can work on. You can never be perfect in any aspect of the game. You know, mentally, I want to know what every single person on the field's doing. I want to be the quarterback out there where guys can look at me, ask me what they have to do, and I can defensive lineman or a wide receiver. You know, I can tell Todd who, you know, what his strong progressions are if I really need to. So I'm excited about that, and there's a lot of things I got to work on, and that's what I'm doing.
I wonder if he'll be a first rounder. I mean, Adazio swears by this guy. I mean, he's sitting, here's Adazio talking to us, Trey McBride's walking away, and he says, that guy right there is the best tight end in the country. I've seen a lot of great tight ends in my time, but that's the best one. I mean, this team believes in him. Tight end, going to be the leader carrying this football program. So I'm pumped for that, too. So CSU practice was great. UNC practice wasn't necessarily open to the media, but it wasn't really closed. So I will be popping out there pretty soon, especially when we can get some interviews and such from Coach McCaffrey and, of course, some of these players. I mean, they got some decent names on this roster. It does feel different here in Greeley. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is available. Go check it out at theholeshow.com. Just something I was thinking about watching the Hall of Fame game last night and seeing Peyton Manning. I thought about John Elway and the fact, hey, the Broncos have churned out, you know, didn't create Peyton Manning, but certainly had some great years. But the Broncos have had two of the greatest quarterbacks ever to win Super Bowls for them. Whose career would you rather have? John Elway's or Peyton Manning? I mean, Elway was a great executive. He won a Super Bowl as a president of operations. But Peyton Manning is, like, he's on everything. He gets to be the funny guy all the time. Elway didn't have that side of it. So whose career would you rather have, John Elway's or Peyton Manning? Go vote at theholeshow.com. 35 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Tell you about Tilted Barrel. That's where we're going to be doing our fantasy football draft. We are still working out the dates. In fact, I'm heading over there early next week to discuss with my friend Tim there. You guys are going to love it. We have got to, speaking of that, Colfax, we messed out because I didn't register some people yesterday. A little busy, but we're going to get some people in the mix today. So don't you, there it is. There's my list. I got to get that going. But Tilted Barrel, man, wings, beer, whiskey, you name it, they got it. They got the TVs all over the place. So go there to watch the game. I'm sure they had the Hall of Fame game bumping last night. I got four spots remaining on my side of the competition and four on the other side. The way we do it, we have two different divisions because we want at least more people to get in. And we take the two winners from each side, and whoever has the most points throughout the course of the season wins. So it's not just about winning your division. You got to make sure you're scoring points like crazy. Should we register somebody now? Should we get them in? It's free to enter. And once you're in, you got a chance to win the belt. We're going to do a WWE-style belt again this year. Looking forward to that. And we want to get the Hooligans involved, man. Somebody's holding that belt. I hope it's me. And I can win this. This is a prize that is not a station-like giveaway thing. This is, we're competing for it. So I want it. I want the belt. And I will wear it every day. Every day I will bring it in on my shoulder, and we'll play some Stone Cold or something every time. All right, I'm going to go caller number two. All I need is an email. Caller number two. This is for the other side of the bracket that's not mine. Caller number two, 970-353-1310, or toll-free 877-353-1310. If you're caller number two, you're getting in our 2021 version of our fantasy football challenge coming up. We do it through ESPN. Very easy. It's going to be fun. All right, 970-353-1310. Our First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. Great chat with Kevin Lytle moments ago about all things CSU. UNC, meanwhile, they're underway with practice, and I'm just watching the footage from UNC's side on Twitter. And, I mean, even just watching that, there's a different feel. You know, McCaffrey's bringing in all these really talented guys, and you know what they can really expect. I mean, I don't know what the expectations are. Some people have high expectations. Some are more or less just thinking, all right, well, let's just get this year started and see what happens. Next year, maybe we start thinking, but Dylan McCaffrey right there. I mean, that should be enough to kind of move the needle. And apparently it wasn't when it came to the media poll and the coaches poll and all that, because media poll has them finishing second to last. Coaches poll has them finishing last. So even Dylan McCaffrey, transfer from Michigan, I would say, maybe check my facts on this, but I would say one of the greatest transfers, one of the biggest names that's already established to ever come to UNC. Even if his name wasn't Dylan McCaffrey, if he, what was he, a three-star, four-star? I think he's a four-star. Four-star quarterback from transfers from Michigan to play for UNC. Take the McCaffrey name out of it, and it's still a pretty huge get. So I was a little stunned by that. Well, and got that big game coming up September 3rd against CU. I'd be curious to see what that spread is. I don't have it just yet. But I'm going to say, and again, I'm not knocking UNC, but I'm going to say that the spread is probably somewhere around 20 to 28. Maybe. I was looking here, Colfax. I was going to see. Nothing yet. Probably won't have it until we know a little bit more. But what do you think? Am I too high? You thinking 20, 28, 25?
Yeah, maybe over 30.
30, so you're going to the 30s?
I mean, it has been in the past, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it...
Well, even against CSU, like, they stomp CSU, and then...
Yeah.
It can't be... It's got to be a huge.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be probably in that range. You know, mid-20s is kind of where I was going, mainly because he's still... Caldwell's still kind of unknown as far as the head coach for the Buffs. And then, you know, again, like McCaffrey said, why wouldn't they be picked to finish last? Nobody, you know, last time we saw the Bears on the football field, they were winning a couple of games under Ernest Collins Jr. Completely different team, different feel, but no one's buying in just yet. And that's kind of how it goes. I thought that the McCaffrey transfer would change a few minds as far as the preseason rankings. Well, you're just going to have to go out there. But I'll tell you what, if UNC hangs in there, if they hang in there, maybe they lose by a touchdown, maybe 10, you're going to walk away pretty dang happy. And I don't know if that happens. I mean, I think the chances of that happening are very small. But if it does, boy, look out. Denver media is going to go nuts. And if somehow, some way, UNC wins, I mean, we're talking Greeley. That does that not, at least for the day, maybe the week, maybe the month, does that not put the University of Northern Colorado and Greeley on the map? I mean, that's what these kind of games are all about, right? They happen all over the country. Whether they're in the same state or not, a smaller level school like UNC, an FCS school, going up against a Pac-12 team. The Buffs have nothing to gain by beating UNC, but they have everything to lose, more so than, I mean, quadruple more so than playing CSU. And I guess if there were a chance to do it, it would be when CU's coming into the season, still coming off the COVID year, there's still a lot of unknowns about everybody. Like Kevin said, you can't say, oh, last year doesn't count. It counts. It's just, don't let that be your evaluating, like, don't let that be the main thing that you're using to evaluate a team. So yeah, the Buffs went 4-1 last year. They played the weaker portion of the Pac-12, of the conference. I still would be extremely shocked, but you would change some things here. And again, even if they hang in, I think the attention of outside media outside of the area is going to be huge. And I think it is anyway. I mean, I'm at CSU yesterday, and they're talking about UNC. There was a couple of guys there from some of the news stations in Denver that did make mention of, oh, well, they have practice starting today. And, oh, they made this announcement. Oh, okay. And so it's like, that normally never happens, Colfax. I mean, I've gone to CSU stuff for a very, very long time. And, I mean, one of the main things someone was talking about is the fact that Max McCaffrey, who was listed as the wide receivers coach, is now just, he's listed on the website, and it's official, as the offensive coordinator. So you had Dave Baldwin before spring ball, right before spring ball, like the day before spring ball, and he was gone. He was gone so fast that he was removed from UNC's website like the next day because we looked on the air. He wasn't there. And now Max McCaffrey is the offensive coordinator. I was looking at Media Day. It's like, who's available? Head coach Ed McCaffrey. Offensive coordinator and assistant coach Max McCaffrey. Quarterback Dylan McCaffrey. I'm like, it is the McCaffrey show here, man. It's, I hope you like McCaffreys, which apparently everybody does. But Max McCaffrey, congratulations. We'll see how that works out. Optimistic. There's optimism around Greeley for sure. 12:49 the time. We'll take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to wrap up hour number one. A pretty prominent figure in the sports media world does not believe in Von Miller, or at least his greatness status. We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Catch the Ellison Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Eastside Chris texting in on our First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Breaking news, Jimmer Fredette to Nuggets Summer League team. Barton better step it up. You got some breaking news? I'm going to get you some breaking news right over the top of that. Mike Singer. Mike Singer of the Denver Post posted this morning, due to a last-minute issue, Jimmer Fredette will not be on the Nuggets Summer League roster, per source. So, sorry to burst your bubble there, Eastside Chris, but Jimmer Fredette, who just is like the little engine that keeps on keeping on, man. A BYU star 467 years ago, continues to find himself on Summer League teams and then playing overseas. But I don't know if it's a COVID thing or what, but doesn't sound like he will be on the Summer League roster now. Again, First Advantage text line 970-478-1301, 478-1301. Big story of the day, Colfax, presented by FMS Bank. Bills quarterback Josh Allen is signing a six-year deal worth $258 million, including a $150 million guarantee, per source. So the Bills got their guy locked up, and he'll, you know, they've got their franchise quarterback. I know that news is always relevant to Broncos fans. It always will be. Watching Josh Allen's career, seeing him sign a big contract, and having the success. I mean, he was top five easy last year, if not better than that. It does sting. Meanwhile, you have a camp going on between two mediocre quarterbacks. Mediocre could be putting it mildly compared to Drew Lock's last season, but Pro Football Focus just came out predicting all of their depth charts, and they predicted Drew Lock to be the starting quarterback. They must be listening to the whole show. That's all I'm going to say. And I was right about it the whole time. That's it. I'm always right. It's still a battle. I mean, it's going to go back and forth. It sounds like it is an extremely close competition. And we reached out to Zach Stevens to see if we can get him. Again, what's with everybody scheduling practices in the heat of the day at noon and 11? That's when lunchtime is. That's why this program is here for you, so you can go out, grab some lunch, and listen to us for 2 hours every single weekday. But that's life sometimes. All right, second hour coming up next. We'll get into one of this big-time sports guys. Doesn't think Von Miller's quite there yet in terms of the Hall of Fame. We'll talk about it next.